below last year's level of about 33,000 bales. To end the news, here are the main points again. Hundreds of people reported to have been detained in Laos as the pro-communist Pathet Lao begins a cultural revolution. Peking Radio says demonstrations last week in support of the former Chinese vice premier, Mr. Deng Xiaoping, claimed one life in...
This next number is designed to create a romantic atmosphere. It's been used in many films, and in fact, violinists in candlelit cafes throughout the world find it a great favorite. Here's Marchetti's Fascination.
I wonder how many of you remember Susan Hayward and Dana Andrews in that wonderful film, My Foolish Heart. It brings back very vivid memories to me. And now, finally, a song which should be a final song. It's called To the Ends of the Earth. To the end of the earth.
Next comes the newest work in this program, the second Mallarmé improvisation of Pierre Boulez. Boulez, who is 35 years old, is one of the most prominent musical figures of today. Significantly, he has won the admiration of another earlier innovator, Igor Stravinsky. Boulez, who studied in Paris with Olivier Messiaen, uses an advanced form of serial technique, in which not only the notes, but other elements, such as timbre, dynamics, nuance, as well as rhythms, are organized in series. Now, improvisation, of course, introduces an indeterminate element into music, and the very title of this work suggests a compromise between a rigid system of composition and spontaneous musical creation. In this improvisation, Boulez embeds the singing of an abstruse sonnet by the French symbolist Mallarmé within an exotic texture provided by 9 instrumentalists who play harp, bells, vibraphone, piano, celesta, and a great variety of percussion instruments. The effect is quite oriental. The poem, Une dentelle sabolie, which is sung by a soprano voice, springs from the poet's contemplation of a pair of lace curtains slightly parted before a window. Dorothy Dorrow is the singer in this performance of Pierre Boulez's Improvisation on Mallarmé No. 2 by the New Music Ensemble, conductor John Carew.
Critics with Chairman Reg Neal.
The prince and the showgirl, the author and the newspaper seller, they could all end up in the one programme in our People on Radio, 1:15 on Wednesdays on the First Network. It's in the afternoon, so stay awake. When a whole lot of people get together, well, anything can happen, and if it looks like being a bit of a fizz, then I'm there to stir things along a bit. This is Bob Sanders, and I talk to people from all walks of life on the new radio programme, People on Radio, Wednesdays at 1:15 on the First Network. A whole lot of people get together. That's the start of it, you see. And then, well, anything can happen. And if things do look like being something of a fizz,
Then I'm there to stir things along a bit. This is Bob Sanders. I've been talking to people on television for a long time, and now it's radio for us. 1:15 on the First Network on the ABC, People on Radio, Wednesdays. If you want to hear people in the news actually reporting about what they've seen and done, mixed into a programme of chat with famous people and argument about topical matters, and if I work hard enough, and if we're lucky, well, we might get all these ingredients together into a programme called People on Radio, Wednesdays at 1:15 on the First Network. By the way, this is Bob Sanders, and I hope to join you on radio. I don't really mean to shock you, you know, but it's London to a brick, as they say, that you're going to be shocked sometime if you listen to the radio programme People on Radio. It's coming on at 1:15 on Wednesdays on the First Network on the ABC. And the reason I talk about being shocked, well, people are pretty shocking sometimes, and we report the truth on this programme. So I hope you can join me, Bob Sanders, on People on Radio on Wednesdays. For 10 years now, I've been asked by people, where do you find the people you put on television? And now I suppose I'm going to be asked by people, where do you find the people you put on radio? Because we're starting a new radio program called People on Radio. This is Bob Sanders. I'll be talking to them on the radio and on the television. And you might be one of them. But anyway, I hope you can join us 1:15 Wednesdays on the First Network.
John, what were your main impressions of the 1952 Olympic Games in Helsinki?
Well, I would say the thing that impressed me most is the efficiency with which the Finns ran the games. They put on an excellent spectacle, which was a first-class show from the point of view of the spectator and the pressman and the athlete alike. I think everybody felt that after the games that they had never competed or witnessed a greater sporting spectacle.
Did you find the atmosphere very different to other athletic meetings?
Yes, the atmosphere is very tense from the competitor's point of view, very interesting from the spectator's point of view. Every heat, every semi-final is very, very closely contested. In fact, a heat may very well be the hardest race you'll ever run. You've got to qualify, and they're very cutthroat, fierce competition, and you can't afford to be dallying at any stage.
Well, John, have you decided to concentrate on any particular event at the Melbourne Games?
Yes, I would like to run both the 5,000 metres and the 1,500 metres. The difficulty is whether I could undertake both of these races. Each of the races has a heat, and so it would involve running a total of 4 races in about 5 days. This, of course, can be done. It depends on the speed with which you run the 4 races and also, of course, your own physical condition. My problem, of course, will be to decide whether I'm capable of doing justice to myself in both events under these circumstances. My decision will be made after our Olympic trials here on October the 13th and the 20th, if I run well on both occasions and am able to come up on the second occasion feeling fit and strong, well then I'll be tempted to try and run both. That's of course if I qualify for both. I mean, conditions even out here of competition are such that it would be quite possible for me to fail to qualify in either of those events for our own team. But if I don't, well then I'll select the better of those two events. The event in which I show out best, well I'll run that only.
Well, who do you consider will be your most formidable rivals in those races?
Well, it's a matter of rivals rather than rival, because it's a number of runners in each event. I would think that there are 8 or 9 men in both the 1500 and the 5000 metres who would have an excellent chance of winning. There are another half dozen or so whose names are more obscure, perhaps less well known, but who also must be given a chance because outsiders have a habit of winning Olympic titles. In the 1500 metres in Helsinki in 1952, a fellow from Luxembourg by the name of Josie Bartel won the event, and yet the most optimistic of his supporters could hardly have expected him to gain a place and yet he was able not only to win the event but to create an Olympic record and to remain unbeaten in about 10 more races that season. This has happened before and it's likely to happen again. In the 1500 metres, on present form, the runners with the best chances are Delaney of Ireland, Nielsen of Denmark, Rosavalli and Tabori of Hungary, Ewson and Wood of England, and Bailey of Australia, Lincoln perhaps of Australia, and also runner. And in the 5,000 metres, the runners with the best chance are mainly Europeans and Englishmen. The Englishmen have three very fine runners in Pirrie, Ibbotson and Chataway, all three of which could possibly fill the places. And then the Hungarian Harris and the New Zealander Bailey and perhaps Holberg too. And then there's Stevens and the Russian Cutts. They must all be given excellent chances of winning that event. I'd hope to have some hope myself, of course, as well.
Are you ready? And there is the gun, and the Head of the River race for 1951 is underway, and I'm happy to report a very excellent start was effected. This is a matter of great congratulations. It is very fine for sportsmen of any athletic prowess to have the advantage of an excellent start, as these crews were given here this afternoon. And with the flurry and the scurry of the early high rate of striking, I notice now that Scotch College have gone out in the first 100 yards to a lead of approximately a quarter of a length over Wesley College, and Wesley College and Xavier are rowing neck and neck together. The crews have travelled about 150 yards. 100 crews have travelled about 100 crews have travelled about 100 crews have travelled, and the Scots are maintaining that advantage. Wesley are forging up to them. Xavier at the moment are dropping a little back. The rate of stroking has now settled roping, given by the exhibition of rowing has been given by the exhibition of rowing has been given by the exhibition of crew. The people that are getting the distance up to the head of the field, to the distance up to the quarter mile post. Wesley and Grimley, Lee Collett, a mile per length behind them, to a half a length behind them in second position, quarters of a length. May go ahead of me. The excellency ahead of me. A lot depends on afternoon. A lot depends on the approach to the rudder. Any excess use of the rudder. Congratulating Alex. Now maintained that lead. There are good lengths, I would say now. Out of my range of vision. They are now further back. And a quarter of a length further back. And as they are now passing out of my range of vision, Harold Belson in the centre position will give you Harold Belson in the front. And so I'll pass over. It's with you.
A half mile here. Their hands, their blade work, their leg drive and their body work is an example of nice. As I had a length ahead of there, which now have quickened up and have set out to chase Scotch. Xavier would be about 2.5 lengths further behind the leaders, at the moment as they pass up towards the end of the last percentage and to the challenge that Wesley threw out, and have gone further ahead. They're now entering on the last quarter of a mile, and Scotch undoubtedly have a winning advantage at this stage. As a matter of fact, it could very well be said that barring accidents, Scotch are now the winners. They're easily the best Scotch College crew that I've seen since the war, and probably one of the best in the last 20 years. Now, as they're approaching the finish, I think it's Basil Coningsby's turn to take over. Can you take it, Basil?
Thank you, Harold. And now as the crews race about 400 yards from the finish, Scots College run with great confidence dasher running along, as Harold's already told you, look all over winners. But Wesley College are not to be denied, and here on the north bank they're putting in a great challenge to Scots. They have outdistanced Xavier, who've dropped right out of the calculations altogether. Now Scots racing on with about 300 yards to go, striking about 35, 36 strokes per minute, and the water being a little bit dirty, they're clearing it in excellent style, showing good watermanship. And Wesley striking about 35, going after Scots, are about a length and a quarter behind, but putting in a determined finish, but I'm afraid there isn't enough space left way, 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 there isn't enough space left past finishing Scots. Scots are giving a grand exhibition of rowing, and they're coming right away now as they near the winning post, about 150 yards to go. They're almost feelings ahead of the very tired Wesley crew, who are starting to lose some of their form. Xavier College is about another 2.5 lengths further behind Wesley College. And rowing with great confidence, Scots go over the line, about 2 lengths from Wesley College, who are about another 2.5 lengths ahead of Xavier College. That was a...
The first to get away was Whittaker, closely followed by Baldwin and Alden. Hammond is in the picture, and with about 50 yards to go, it's anybody's race. Arnold fighting on, and we find Baldwin will go on, and I think he will beat Arnold or Chris Lambert. That would be the placing. Well, this boy has won it. The second lad in succession from Broken Hill, and he was confident, as he told you, that he'd run it through, and I think he was a popular selection. Well, his trainer's gone round to him, and they're hugging him. It's not often done on the Bendigo track, and we feel that he's coming to the microphone straight away. Mr. Albert Matthews is bringing him here. Well, it's a great victory, and here he comes in great style. Well, thank you, Albert, for bringing the young man across. We'll just wait for the moment while he gets a breath or two. And he's receiving congratulations from everyone. His photograph being taken. And you know, when we brought him to the microphone after he won the semi-final, he did feel very confident that he'd come through and win. Well, he lived up to it, the redhead. They all do that.
Okay.
Well, Sam, it's a great moment for you. Congratulations from all of us and all sportsmen in Australia. And how they'll be cheering in Broken Hill this afternoon. Well, what would you like to say?
Not much to say then.
Well, when did you seriously start to set yourself for this race?
5 years ago.
And how old were you then? Who took you in hand?
Mr. Ellis.
And you'd like to pay a tribute to your trainer?
Yeah, could I get him to say a few words?
We're going to get him in a second. I'm going to ask you, did you feel confident success from the time the handicaps came out?
Oh, yes.
Had you had a run-up with J.A. Cairn, who won the Stalgett last year? Oh, you hadn't in any way at all.
No.
Well, have you had any other important successes?
No, only one. 3 small ones,
about 4 years ago. And, son, regarding diet, have you any set plan?
No diet at all. Just eat normally and dry out, that's all.
Well, when did you have a meal today, your last meal?
At 11 o'clock.
And what did you have?
Grilled steak.
Well, there you are. Now, no doubt you'll run at school at Easter.
Yes, I'll be there.
And no special training methods from Miss Ellis?
No special.
Well, would you like to say a word to the mother Brogan? Would you like to say a word to the mother Brogan? Would you like to say a word to the mother Brogan? Would you like to say a word to the mother Brogan?
Hello, Brogan Hill. Hey, Mum. Hey, Dad. And 7 brothers. How are you?
Well, all the very best. Thank you kindly indeed. And where's Mr. Ellis? Is he here? Mr. Ellis there? I think the young fellow's broken down. It's been a very stirring moment for him. And he's really upset at his success. He defeated. And to the lads, have your turn. And may you have your turn. And may you have your turn. And may you have your turn. As we told you. Bill. Well, that's nice. What do you think of that boy? He's a lovely lad, isn't he?
Well, he's a very good runner, as far as I'm concerned. Now.
And when did you know that he could run?
Oh, 5 years ago.
And how have you put him through it all the time?
Well, he's just gone. Well, he's jogging some long work early, fogging some long, plenty of run through.
And how did you pick him to be a good runner?
I just seen him as a schoolboy. Practically just left.
And you've had him ever since?
He's 17 since he's 17.
Lean, living lad, isn't he? I thought he looked most confident when he came down with the other finalists to run through there.
He had the race won for him.
And how did he settle himself over the weekend? It wasn't too big for him or anything. Was he all right?
It never worried him. We left home Saturday singing. We left home today singing.
Well, you'll still be singing when you get back. Good luck to Ed, and may you train many more winners.
Cheerio to Brogan. Cheerio to Brogan Hill, to Kate, John, all the boys in the boiler shop and North Brogan Hill staff, Mr. and Mrs. Borland. Thank you.
Thank you. You can give the full place and some time. Well, when did you have it?
11 o'clock.
And what? Mother Brogan Hill. Would you like to say a word to the Mother Brogan
Hill? Dad.
Mr. Ellis, is he here?
And seven brothers, how are you?
Well, all the very best. Thank you kindly indeed. And where's Mr. Ellis? Is he here? Mr. Ellis there? I think the young fella's broken down. He's been a very stirring... He's been a... And a moment for him. And he's really upset at his... He's really upset at his... Him, the very best. And to the lads that he defeated... And to the lads that he defeated... We say good luck. We'll have your turn... And may you have a winner very soon. Now the winner very soon. Now the winner, as we told you, Bill, well, that's nice. What do you think of that boy? And when did you know that he could run?